whole life. We are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And in your bulletin, there is a list of announcements and calendars. And if you have any questions about our mission, fellowship, worship, educational opportunities, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive your questions and comments. Just a few announcements this morning. First, at 1 o'clock this afternoon, here in the sanctuary, we will be celebrating the life of Vi McMahon, who passed away earlier this week, and everyone is welcome to come and offer thanks to God for her life. And as I said, a lot of prayers needed for those senior high work project participants and the leaders who left for Columbus, Ohio this morning at 9 a.m. So they are on their way. And Linda has an announcement.
Good morning. We are in need of volunteers for the toddler room and the nursery starting August 26th. Our wonderful caregiver, Tiffany, has taken another position and hates to leave our children, but it's something she needs to do. So until we hire someone, we will need some volunteers. There is a sign-up sheet on the kiosk, so please do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And you will also notice as you came in the sanctuary that the bounty of God's abundance is growing. And if your garden is growing, please, please bring any of the fruits and vegetables that you have, as we will be taking them to various soup kitchens and places around Rochester where hungry people come, and fresh food, vegetables, fruit is always appreciated. So bring in those vegetables, set them on the table as you walk in. And now let us lift our hearts to God in worship.
Thank you. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Try me, Lord, if you think there is a way I could try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I'm wasted, and so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Jesus, my soul's in your hand.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able and join together in the call to worship. Called to lead a life that is worthy, we gather as God's people. Whatever roads we walk, whatever waters we have passed through, we share one baptism. Called to model lives of service, we share in the building up of Christ's body. Our backgrounds are different, our habits vary, but we share a common faith in Christ. Called to be people of peace and gentleness, we offer these gifts to all of God's creation. Though each of us is unique and precious to God, our hearts beat as one with hope. Lead a life worthy of the one who has called you by one faith, one hope, one baptism. We gather as God's family at the table. Let us be fed by the body of Christ.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of confession as written in your bulletin. God of unity and love, place within each of us a spirit of hope and community. Have mercy upon us when we speak without love or act without humility. Cleanse us with the living water of your grace. Create in us willing hearts to live in patience and gentleness. Strengthen this church that we may be a model of ministry and unity for all the world to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please join me in offering your silent prayers of confession. Seeing our brokenness, God puts us back together. One hope, one faith, one baptism, one body. These are the gifts God gives to us in this moment and all the moments to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Children are invited at this time. Good morning. Or if you're feeling particularly young in heart this morning, you may also come forward. Can you please sit down? I need you to sit down, please. Thank you. Good morning. I have something to show you, so stay right there. So Lily let me borrow this morning. What is this? A bike. That's right. It's a pretty cool bike, isn't it? So, does anyone know how to ride this? You know how to ride a bike? Do you guys know how to ride bikes? Yes? Two wheels or four? Two, four. Ooh, see, most of you guys are still riding with training wheels. So, Lily and Nora this week started practicing with only two wheels. What happens when you only ride with two wheels? What happens when you're learning? You fall a lot.
Can I tell you a secret? That even if you practice with one hand, you can still fall.
Over and over and over again and get to be an adult like me, do you know what happens still? Sometimes you still fall off. Well, that's the thing about gravity. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. Love each other when you fall off and hit the ground. Go back and sit with your parents. Oh, girl crew, I know. And dads, they're important.
The first reading of the word this morning is taken from Psalm 78, verses 23 through 29. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heavens and by his power made the south wind blow. He rained meat down on them like dust, birds like sand on the seashore. He made them come down inside their camp, all around their tents. They ate till they were gorged. He had given them what they craved.
Which pocket I put it in? How can I give thanks for the things that you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude, all that I am or ever hope to be. I owe it all to you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the thing you have done. With his love, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things you have done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With his love, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. God be the glory for the thing he has done.
We continue this morning working through the book of Ephesians, as we have been this summer. And this morning we are in chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. And when it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. One of the things I love about summer, not just this warm, pleasant air, is in our neighborhood, all the kids are outside. They're playing in the yard, they're filling the sidewalk with colorful chalk masterpieces, and zooming by on bikes. As we talked about in the children's sermon, my girls, who are 4 and 6, have taken notice lately of the number of kids zooming by on 2 wheels instead of 4. Over the course of the summer, they've asked a number of times, "Can you take our training wheels off for us, please?" I didn't want to discourage their optimism of about acquiring this rite of passage in childhood. But I also watched them freak out every time the training wheels were even a little bit loose and the bike wobbled. But finally this week, Matt and I, we gave in. We took those training wheels off, and as you can imagine, we also spent a better part of this week jogging along with one hand on the handlebar and one hand on the seat with the command, "Don't let go, Mommy, don't let go, Daddy, don't let go," until our backs ached. And it was Lily, our older one, who kept glancing at the friend across the street who's been riding her 2-wheel bike for quite some time now, and she screams at me, "Mom, okay, just let go." And I'm the kind of mom who believes that my kids do their best learning when they experience life for itself. So I let go and watched her crash. Mind you, the child has on a helmet, knee pads, elbow pads. So she stood back up, got back on, and we did it again, only this time in the grass. And over and over and over again, we would start by me hanging on, giving her a push, letting her go for just a few seconds before she hit the ground. We both know it will happen. One day, she will take off and keep going. There will be some crashes, and it doesn't mean that she isn't a good bike rider, but that crashes happen. And she'll get back on, and she'll keep going. And we've all been there. Novices, trainees, beginners. Maybe we're learning a new skill, taking up a new practice, starting a new job, enrolling in a new school, moving to a new community, or connecting to a new church. We feel that awkwardness of optimism and growth and the soreness of being stretched in new ways. And that is what the follower of Paul, who writes on his behalf, is addressing this morning in this fledgling community of believers. These new Christians in Ephesus need someone to hang on to the handlebars in the back of the seat while they get going and get the hang of being a disciple of Christ and what it means for their lives and community. And they also keep hitting the ground, feeling the pain of their differences. You see, in this community in Ephesus, as we've talked about, Some of these new Christians are well-experienced Jews, and others Gentiles. And there apparently has been some sort of takeover movement by neither Gentiles, who care much about Israel and her place in salvation's history. Their traditions and practices are odd and strange to those of pagan heritage and are being dismissed as archaic, increasingly irrelevant to real life. Everyone brings this host of theological, religious, and cultural practices to the new community, and they keep hearing in this letter the cheering of Paul's student, "Unity, unity," just as loud as Lily heard me screaming, "Pedal, pedal." Both, of course, much easier said than done. Especially when the fractured groups belittle the actions and practices of the other as wrong, old-fashioned, or irrelevant. As a cradle Presbyterian, which means that I was born and baptized in this denomination and chose to stay and serve as a pastor and denominational leader, I have watched over and over and over again the ways fractions and disunity have emerged, not only around the very obvious theological differences that we hear a lot about and get put up in mainstream media, but also in subtler ways. The subtle ways the different generations belittle the spiritual practices of each other, leaving many feeling like they are too unworthy to lead the life to which they have been called. Most young folks live their life callings with this impatient, sometimes impulsive passion and excitement. There are tendencies, of course, to grow frustrated with those who have fallen off their bike a few times, so to speak, and disregard any advice or wisdom and experience as those being stuck in their ways and unwilling to change. And the power struggles and tensions increase as those who have been around the block a few times are dismissive of new ways of doing things. And one way I see this play out in the life of the church is when I hear comments how young families today are so busy, with parents working and kids so overscheduled in activities, they just aren't around anymore in the life of the church to serve on our committees, our boards, organize our fundraisers. I try to gently remind everyone that just because the younger generation isn't around in ways that you may have been or ways that you now expect, doesn't mean they aren't practicing their faith in the life of the community. The calling to which we have been called in the life of Christian community is not the preservation of institutionalized programs and events, or the creation of new ones to attract young people to fill the pews, or to engender an atmosphere of unworthiness when we don't agree how something is being done. Indeed, God has given us a variety of gifts that some would be apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, but these varieties of gifts, ages, and experiences, to these differences are all given so that we are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. equipping is not about accumulating skills or knowledge. It's not about deciding that because something has been done for years and years and years, it's now the only way to do it. Rather, the word equip in Greek comes from the noun katarismos, which means the setting of a bone. The setting of a bone. Its derivation is a verb meaning to reconcile, to restore, to create, to prepare. This same family of words makes an appearance in the Gospel of Matthew's account of Jesus calling Galilean fisher folk to be his followers. When Jesus invited James and John to the adventure of discipleship, they were in the boat with their father, mending their nets. Mending is in the same family of words as equip. So they're related, which means to equip is to weave back together the frayed edges of life, to repair brokenness rather than to write off the broken, to restore rather than disregard the shattered. It is to help people trust that in spite of what life has done to them and with them, they can be useful again. This understanding of equipping means that practicing the faith together, our faith together, involves a crucial dimension of healing and restoration. All of us have experiences which rend and tear us. We all have times when fatigue or failure tempts us to give up on ourselves. No matter how young or old, novice or experienced we are, we all can fall off our bikes and hit the ground. Sometimes what we need most is not to refine our skills or to avail us of more training. Instead, what we need is the grace and mercy and renewal and confidence of God. We need the space to know that it's always possible to begin or to begin again. The meditation in your bulletin this morning includes the refrain from a John Mayer song, "I'm in repair. I'm not together, but I'm getting there. In repair. Not together, but getting there." Those words describe all of us. None of us has it completely together. We're all flawed and broken. Gravity is going to get the best of all of us from time to time, and we're going to hit the ground. But by God's restoring grace, and with the encouragement of one another, we're getting there. Mercy has us in repair, and hope has us on the journey. Together, in unity, we'll get there. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
turn our lives. The one to whom we turn our lives over to over and over again has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel and for what reasons you come, join us. Whatever your condition, whatever your brokenness and what hurts you, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. It is our Savior who invites us to trust him, to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. May the God of grace be with you.
And also with you.
People of one faith, one baptism, lift your hearts to God.
We offer our hearts to the one who has reshaped them by grace.
People of one hope, one spirit, lift your songs of praise to God.
We lift them to God, who has called us to one body in one spirit.
Chaos waited for you to speak, grace giver, healer of all brokenness, and all beauty was created for our eyes. All wonder was composed for our awe, all majesty was shaped for our praise. All mystery was crafted for our silence. Holy God, you gave us everything we needed. And we despised the words of hope you spoke, certain that life was all about our appetites. We gorged on the moldy bread of death, and although our only hope came from you, we rebelled like little children. Called to be one with you, we held close all that keeps us apart. God, we have fallen, and in grace you lift us up. We are broken and you restore us to new life. We turn our backs on you and you come to us in Jesus. So we praise you in this time and place. Our voices merging with our sisters and brothers. One body in faith, hope, and baptism. Forever proclaiming your steadfast love. Holy, holy, holy. Holy. God of new hearts and hope, creation resounds with your glory and grace. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the bread of life who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God of grace and tenderness, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our hope, our joy. Though we look for him for all the wrong reasons, he offers the bread of life to us. Though we offer the cross to him, he graces us with life. Though we thirst for more and more, he hands us the cup of sacrifice. Though we gossip and slander one another, he speaks the truth in love to us. Though we would divide each other by class, race, gender, or condition, he calls us to oneness in you. Recalling your never-ending love in Christ, knowing we cannot comprehend your grace, we take this bread and this cup, giving you the praise and thanksgiving, even as we proclaim that mystery we call faith.
Christ came that we might have the bread of life.
Christ died that we might drink from the cup of grace. Christ is risen that we might be part of one body. Christ will come again to give us eternal life.
Holy God of wonder, we come to your table as many. Make us one body by your one spirit. Feed us with the bread of life so we might feed those who know true hunger. As your justice shines in the shadows of our hearts, may we light the way for the lost and despised. As you speak in truth of your love for us, may we be the voice for the unloved and forgotten. As you reshape our brokenness into wholeness, may we bind up the wounds of our world. And when we are gathered together in glory, one faith, one hope, one joy, one body around the one table of peace and grace. We will join our voices in singing through all eternity to you, God in community, holy and one. Amen. And we do give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered his friends around a similar table, and on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread, and he made it holy. Just as he takes common people and makes all of us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again, as he did by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And we cannot live by bread alone. And so he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith that you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this." We break the bread and we drink the wine, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life. Again and again and again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate and give thanks together. This is the body of Christ, broken that we may be made one. Taste and see the unity of God's grace. This is the cup of salvation poured out for the brokenness of the world. Taste God's grace and mercy for all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed, nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to share your life and love with others. Amen. At this time, I invite those who have prayers of joy, prayers of concern that you would like to lift up to God and this community so that we may be in prayer with you. You'll raise your hand so the usher can see you, and they will bring a microphone around.
Good morning, Peter Derry. Just prayers for our son-in-law's father, who had a very bad diagnosis after a medical exam. And also, let's spare a thought for our farmers. As we complain about the weather, their livelihoods are at stake. Thank you.
Amen.
Jeannie Bauman, I'd like to ask for prayers for a co-worker. Her son was in a serious car accident just this weekend.
Bill DeSero, I'd like some prayers for my aunt and uncle who were involved in a serious car accident late last week. They hit the back of a tractor trailer in one of the rainstorms at about 70 and rolled their car about three or four times. And they need your prayers right now. Thank you.
Bob Binko, I'd like to have prayers for a little girl, a 9-year-old named Tess, who in a strange pool accident lost part of her nose. She was rushed to Children's Hospital in Buffalo where they reattached it. They don't know whether it's going to take, and just prayers that it will take, prayers for her family so she won't have to undergo more reconstructive surgery and skin grafts.
Sue Mancini, I'd like prayers from all of us for the parents of that young man who committed such a crime in the movie theater. Everyone has talked about him, but as a parent sitting here in this pew, all of us here should realize that their struggle is tremendous, and no one is remembering that they need our prayers also. Thank you.
Amen. And not that it necessarily matters, but the parents are active Presbyterians in a congregation. So prayers for the congregation and the parents.
Bonnie Beckett and I have a joy. At 10:30 last night, our daughter Linda and grandsons Max and Corey and their friend Jacob reached Greenville, Tennessee. And we are very happy that they are safe.
Any other prayers? We continue to hold the McMahon family in prayer as well this morning.
I have a joy. My son finally got engaged. Amen for that.
Congratulations. Yeah.
And there was a problem in my life that I prayed a long time for, and God took me through it, so praise be to God.
Amen. Holy and loving God, from this table you provide us the sacred reminder of the grace you freely give us over and over again. For the number of times we fall over and hit the ground, we need all the reminders we can get. As we are strengthened and nourished, may we be the reminders for this broken and hurting world. You have given us all the gifts it takes to be your body, as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. As our youth travel to Columbus, Ohio, to do the work of ministry, we pray for their journey. We pray that their hearts and hands are open to share and receive the bounteous gifts that abound when we serve one another in love. We pray for all who are suffering in any way. Be with those who are living in dangerous places and who know the anxiety and destructiveness of war. Be with those in harm's way. Be with the innocent people who are in the wrong place at the wrong time. Provide comfort and safety for the living and hope for the dying. Help us to build a world where the causes of war are eliminated. O God, may we all lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have called us, building up the world in love. We offer these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and our minds to offer back in thanks out of the abundance that God has blessed us with the morning offering, and you're also getting out that hymnal to mark the last hymn, we will only be singing verses 1 and 3 of the last hymn. 1 and 3. So let us give our thanks to God.
Let us pray. O God, we humbly admit that we search so often for bread that perishes rather than the bread of eternal life. We foolishly think that happiness and fulfillment can be attained from our own hands rather than from your hands. And we offer these gifts with a promise that you have already given us the bread of heaven. We come seeking to never be hungry or thirsty again. Amen.
Thank you.
going. We're going to hit the ground. But we are gathered as a community of believers. Get back up again to fill each other with love and encouragement, care, and the grace that God blesses each of us with. So go. Go in that grace and the faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit now and always. Alleluia. Amen.